Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Doing good, thank you. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks, God. Where was Chen?
Amen.
Yeah. You have any questions?
I'll give everyone else a chance first. I kind of have a question.
Good. So we're going to have discussion tonight.
You have a question?
Not really. It is more personal. And I guess Hanok is going to answer it, you know, just to me, probably.
Sometimes we don't have a question, and once we get started, then we have a question. So
we'll see. Oh my gosh! I wasn't in the conference call last week at all. It's my daughter's graduation.
Oh, from high school or college?
From high school. Here.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi there. Good evening.
So I know one person has a question, but does anybody else have that question, a different question?
I didn't hear that. I just got on the call right now, Hanok, so someone had a different question from my question that I have?
No, I know about your question.
Oh, okay.
The other people on the call now have a question.
Okay.
Well, I do.
Go ahead.
Okay. In the weekly commentary that you sent out, for months now, there's been a picture of a sheep with the words Nekudim, Akudim, Berukudim, I guess. Spots, speckles, and flecks. Would you explain that again?
It's from the book of Genesis. I'm trying to remember I think it's the Parasha of Vayishlach. It's when Jacob is, according to the Midrash, 10 times his wages have been changed by Laban. And they finally settle on the way that his wages will be paid. And he utilizes the sheep and the goats that he is herding for Laban. That he says that I'm trying to remember exactly what it is, but essentially
it's Genesis 30:35. It's 30:35, and it's the goats that were ring streaked and the goats that were speckled.
Right.
Yes, I know all that, but what do the words have to do with the story? I know the story very well.
Because the words are essentially the DNA sequencing. You are changing the DNA of your life when you say those words. And what I recommended back then, and I still recommend, that at least once a day you say those three words and make a connection to the Hebrew words, the spelling, because those three words actually refer to the worlds that took place before our worlds, and that they literally are giving you connection to the root of your DNA. And your DNA is much more than just the physical, it's also the spiritual is built into our DNA helixes. But that's not yet revealed in science. But that's the reason why it's there and why I recommend that people say those three words at least once a day.
Okay, that's what I had forgotten. I'd forgotten the link to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other questions before I get to the one that Ginger wants to ask? Ginger, go ahead and ask your question.
So we know that the each of the 12 tribes of Israel has its own corresponding astrological sign, but I was asking whether the common astrology used today that we understand in the Western world is similar to that's Hebrew, or whether the signs fall within different, whether the lunar calendar makes the signage different, so that you might be a Libra in one sort of astrology considered a Libra, and you might be a Scorpio in another, for just as an example of the varying days. That was my question.
Okay, you also mentioned when you first talked to me about it, the sidereal astrology, the Oriental
Hindu
astrology, and the Hindu astrology.
Right.
The Vedic.
Right. Yes.
So, and the reason I asked you to ask the question on the conference call so that it could be recorded.
Okay, good.
So, first off, I need to explain some things. The simple answer to your question is, people can be born in a Western astrology as one sign, as the example you gave, a Libra, and in the Hebrew astrology would be a Scorpio. And what is taught in the Kabbalah about that is that person has aspects of both tikkunim, because each month is both a mikvah, a cleansing, as well as a all the people born in that month have a similar tikkunim, a similar correction. But that's a simple answer to the question, the specific question you asked. But when we first started talking about it off the conference call, you mentioned all these different other aspects or approaches to astrology.
Right.
So we need to understand what is taking place in our generation, in our generations, basically the last 100 or 200 years. And in our solar system, we've expanded from 7 planets to 8.5 planets, and I'm joking about the half, because Pluto was a planet and now is not a planet. And that's just a reflection of the Kabbalistic Mechloket about Keter. Is Keter light or is Keter vessel? And I've taught that in other classes and in other discussions, so I'm not going to go into it at length. But what I think is important is that we need to realize that those planets don't affect every human being as the other planets do. Those planets work through the 7 inner planets that have always been known, because they could be seen visually, physically. But the 3 outer planets representing the 3 higher Sephirot, they work through the 7 lower Sephirot on people who are not as highly develop spiritually. But as we get closer to the coming of Mashiach, as we get as part of being the final generations, there are people who are elevated spiritually, and those people will be impacted astrologically by the 3 outer planets. So you have a lot of Western astrology integrating those 3 outer planets into the modern Western astrology. And those 3 being representative of the 3 higher Sephirot are very powerful relative to the inner planets, the 7 lower Sephirot. So where those the Western astrology got the information as to what those three planets represent, I am not sure. I haven't done the research to know whether it's right or wrong, or valid or invalid. The point is that the signs no longer scientifically and with scientific measurements, and those signs are no longer the same as they were back in biblical times, 2,000 years ago and even 4,000 years ago. And so that's the sidereal astrology essentially says that we're going to look at astrology based on the physical components of the various signs. And when they did that, they realized, or they've calculated, that there are now 13 signs, which is appropriate because there will be 13 signs in the world that is coming, because just by virtue of the fact that there's 13 tribes, although we always talk in terms of the 12 tribes. And the reason we talk about the 12 tribes is because of the
Levites.
Because the Levites are serving Hashem in the temple. And we also have a difference of relationships between the time of Moses and the time of, in our current, or the Hebrew astrology over since the temple. And that in each month, you know, when I do the month, there was one year where I brought in all of the current relationships between the tribe and the signs, and also the previous one where it was before the modern sense. But essentially, Hebrew astrology is a science. Everything is built into that. But there's this conflict in all religions over this idea that astrology, you can read in the astrology everything that's going to happen. That means that everything is foreordained, and everything is, therefore, there's no free will. And Kabbalah has explained that through the idea of the different universes, which modern science is now revealing that same concept. And we've discussed that extensively in our classes on finding by striking, the basic classes 5 and 6. But essentially, you have one level of free will, and everything else is foreordained. What is that level of free will? What do you have free will about? Whether to stop your reactions or not. If you react, and we all react, and if you follow through with that reaction, you are just playing out the universe that you are in. You're playing out the movie, is the metaphor that's used in our classes on binding by striking. You're playing out the movie. The movie's already been written, and there's no free will in that movie. You're just watching your life go by, doing what is written by the author, who is Hashem. But there are trillions of movies. There are trillions of universes representing the possibility of your stopping your reaction, which then changes the movie, changes what's foreordained. And that's where why Hebrew astrology works, because it takes into account the possibility that you would stop your reaction and change the movie And yet, the birth chart is dealt with that way. Now, in the Kabbalah Center follows a pattern that basically they took people who were versed in Western astrology, which primarily comes from a Jewish gentleman living about 1400s, I believe, Ibn Ezra. And, you know, he basically brought forward Hebrew astrology and presented it in ways and the Western world took it up, not directly because it was poo-pooed and thought was, you know, bogus from the scientific standpoint, because it's an interpretive tool of being able to know what is going to happen. But Hebrew astrology is not designed to tell you what is going to happen in the future. It's designed to help you know what it is you need to change about yourself so that you can be elevated spiritually, that you can grow spiritually. And so a Hebrew astrologer will never tell you what's going to happen in the future. Even if you go to the Hebrew astrologer as a couple, we're thinking about getting married, what is our, you know, is this a good match? That person, the Hebrew astrologer, is never going to say, this is what's going to happen. Because the Hebrew astrologer is trained to read the chart, whether it's a Western birth chart or the Hebrew astrology chart, which is very different. That person is trained to recognize the possibility of change associated with your learning to control your reaction. Mm-hmm. Now, the Chinese model of astrology, which is based on a year, again, it's astrology that comes from about the time that Hebrew astrology is sourced, but it's not. It's based on a 12-year cycle, as opposed to the annual cycle of 12 months or 13 months. And the Vedic is very similar to the Hebrew, because there is a theory that cannot be proven one way or the other yet, which is that Abraham sent his five children that he had with Keturah to the east, and they essentially ended up in India and founded the religion, the Hindu religion, being a caste system, and the idea of the Brahmin caste being the highest caste is related to the name Abraham. But it's essentially, he sent those children to the east because he gave them a two columns spiritual system, which is what comes out of the east today, the yin and the yang concepts. But their astrology is based on that two column system. The Western astrology is based on what Ibn Ezra taught, bringing the Hebrew astrology into the Western world. But that astrology, because it was not accepted by the church, was essentially developed underground, and it's not as accurate as it could have been. And there are very few Hebrew astrologers, because it's just something that isn't taught in modern Judaism in the Orthodox tradition, which meant for the last, you know, 1800 years, it wasn't really allowed to develop. But all of that information was available through the Kabbalists. And Ebenezer was a Kabbalist and did follow the Hebrew astrology, and he did teach the appropriate way. It's said that he actually forecasted the time of his death, but he was on such a level that he knew he was changing frames of reference. He wasn't dying. And so it wasn't something that disturbed him. Whereas if anybody else, if you could know the moment of your death, how would that change who you are and how that would change what you do? In his case, there was no change based on the knowledge, because he just realized he was changing frames of reference from one world to a future world, the world that we refer to as the world that is coming. So I think I've answered your question, Ginger, but if there's more questions, feel free to ask them.
I had read or was told, I don't remember which one, was that Israel, when she's being Yeshurun, straight with God, that she's not subject to astrological influence, but that when she's run amok and not being faithful to Hashem, she is subject to it.
And that is the teachings that comes out of the Talmud, the teachings that the Zohar expresses as well. The truth is, there isn't a person in our modern generation that is straight with God. There isn't a mm-hmm. person who knows how to keep Shabbat 100% correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And with that understanding, there is a, the spiritual system, the spiritual courts evaluate human activity on a different scale than human activity evaluates itself.
Mm-hmm.
So astrology is accurate and does work as long as you take into account the possibility that there's spiritual growth.
Okay, so when you were speaking about, no one keeping Shabbat properly, you're speaking about being able to stay in a consciousness where, and the whole purpose of Shabbat, not in its entirety, but part of the purpose is to give us a taste of the Olam Haba and to get away from your mundane, mundanity with regard to your thoughts and your actions, and to be able to stay in that consciousness. Is that what you're talking about, a Shabbat consciousness where you let go of all the ridiculousness that surrounds you all the other time and clutters your mind, staying focused?
The answer to that question is no and yes.
Okay.
The answer is, when I'm saying no one knows how to keep Shabbat properly, it's because people do not know the spiritual halachot. They are dealing with physical halachot as expressed in the Shulchan Aruch, which started with spiritual halachot, because the people who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the man who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and all of the appropriate commentaries on that, and even the tour, which rabbi it was 200 years before the Shulchan Aruch, all of these written halachot volumes, all have halacha that frequently does not go into the spiritual cause behind each halacha. And if you lack that knowledge, you don't know when it's appropriate to not do that. Because every halacha, every mitzvah that says do not do, there is an appropriate time to do it. That means most of the time it's appropriate not to do it. But there is a certain set of conditions that the mitzvah is not to be done that way. Or it's to be done as opposed to not done.
Can you give an example?
Sure, you're not supposed to drive on Shabbat except if you're going to save a life.
Okay.
But that's true in every aspect of halakha. And people don't go into that level of detail. You know, that's why even the Kabbalists, you know, they go into the level that is appropriate. The difference between a Kabbalist and another human being is the Kabbalist is so connected that his actions, his unconscious actions, are the doing a right thing at a right time, at a right place, with the right intention of the right kavanah. And as long as those four things are correct, that is correct. So it could be, as an example, not about Shabbat, but about prayer. You're supposed to say the Shema in the morning before a certain time. But if a Kabbalist has, for whatever reason, doesn't say the Shema before a certain time, and then says it later, but he, for him and the minion that he is praying with, he is doing it at the right time, the right place, the right kavanah, and the right action for those people, for that bubble of time that he has carved out of the physical illusion. So everybody in that minion is receiving the appropriate energy as if he had said it at the right time according to the halakha. But that's not, if you go strictly on the letter of the law, the letter of the halakha, no one's going to accept that as a statement. The premise of what I've just described, let me finish, please. The premise of what I've just described is the reality that everything is relative. There is nothing fixed in our physical universe. And that's where astrology and the science of astrology comes in, because it's based on the fixed movements of astrological planets and stars and groups of stars. But those things that have a spiritual cause, and Hebrew astrology goes into that spiritual cause much more than the physical movement. Please continue if you have further questions.
When you were defining the Kabbalist as to what the definition of a Kabbalist was, basically sounded like, and the awakened act is a choiceless awareness of what is right at any moment. He's in that kind of a state. So it's a choiceless awareness. He's just there.
That is true. His free choice, a Kabbalist's free choice, is unnecessary because he always stops his reaction.
Right.
Does anybody else have any questions? Tomorrow's class is the 4:30 West Coast time class, is an advanced reincarnation, and at 7 o'clock is a Zohar class.
On what carnation I didn't get that. What kind of reincarnation?
It's Hebrew. It's what I mentioned to you, the 200 hours. We're doing it again. And the class is at 4:30 West Coast time. Every Thursday.
Oh. Okay, 7:30.
Okay. And then at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we have a Zohar class, and this week it will be on the Parasha of Shlach, or Shlach Lecha.
That's at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Correct. Any other questions? I wish you all a beautiful Shabbat if I don't speak to you before then. And have a wonderful evening and balance of your week with filled with shalom.
Thank you, Hannah.
And happy to see Thank you for the question, Ginger. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the answer, Hannah. Grateful.
Shalom to you all.
Shalom. Shalom.
Bye-bye. Shalom.
Shalom.